We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap. 10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's just...
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a wonderful episode of Soul of a Gamer.
Yeah.
And I just picture right here is when the music starts. I don't know if I was setting it up for like you know, I've been watching, guys, I'm going to be honest. I used to watch a lot of cartoons back in the day, and I've been rewatching Total Drama Island. And they'll do like, oh, God, it's so stupid, but... It was a fun show back when I was a kid. And there's a fun thing they do where they start with a little recap and they're like, last week on Total Drama Island, it's like, and what will happen this week on Total Drama Island? And then the theme song starts. I'm like, that's so smart. That's what we should do.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Could always be more special. We used to do that in our old videos. I used to do that a little bit.
Yeah. Try to like set up the... The theme.
No, I just rather have it start at the beginning.
I'd rather it start at the beginning so people don't have to listen to us talk before the theme and then have to wait through the theme.
That way, if they just want to skip a minute ahead,
all I have to do is just
skip a minute. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the better thing to do, but I just think it's funny. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And we are Soul of a Gamer podcast. Every week we play a game, or every other week, and we tell you about the game. Every other week, we do hot takes. Every other week, we take off clothes. Every other week, we adopt puppies and kittens and people. Yeah, and every other week, we murder one ant. Well, you got to keep listening to find out. We hope you enjoyed our hot takes last week. We had the, I think we did custom designs for characters and whether you'd play a good or evil playthrough. Yes, we did. And that was a fun one. I really do. Like, that's one of the things we don't think about really when we jump into games, but it's kind of cool. Like,
yeah. No, and we really appreciate all the responses we got on TikTok. One of our questions was, what do you guys do on a first playthrough? Or do you always play good? Do you always play bad? Do you do a first playthrough good? First playthrough bad. And then I also put neutral. So I put basically five different response categories and I went through all your guys's comments.
And we'll
overwhelmingly.
We'll talk about that here in a couple minutes. I just want to clean house first.
Yeah.
Guys, if you want to reach out to us, soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to check out our videos, we are on TikTok, we are on Instagram, we are on other things that I don't know, maybe Facebook,
just
whatever.
Mainly
clips
TikTok
or
and anywhere you get your podcasts. That's where you can
Spotify,
find us mostly.
Spotify, iTunes,
Apple,
Podbean, I think, for some reason.
Yeah, Podbean, Podnod.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know what any of those are, so I'm just going to assume no one listens to us on those, but maybe
they
do.
I also put us on iHeart recently as well, so we are there finally. So
yeah, please like reach out to me if you're listening from Podbean, because I want to know what kind of person you are.
Yeah, what is Podnod? I'd never heard of it until I saw that we were on it.
But yeah, thanks for doing that. Now we're going to talk about the results from a survey. We asked all of you, what would you start your game as? Good, bad, neutral, the fuckhead, an idiot, a piece of shit. And the overwhelming majority said
neutral.
Really?
A lot
neutral?
Of people
losers.
Said neutral. The main thing I heard was a lot of people like playing the game how they would play. Sometimes they would do bad things, mainly to bad people or people that piss them off. But most of the time, they kind of intrinsically do good things. But they can be really evil to the right kind of people in games. So they kind of go anti-hero is what a lot
boring.
Of people said.
Boring.
Next, we had a two-way tie between good on your first run through and good always. There's a bunch of people that said they would never play. Yeah,
bad. I told you because you feel bad because you're like, I don't want to kill this kid today. I mean, I feel bad. They just told me they were hungry and now I'm going to force choke them to death. Not a good playthrough.
Then we had a handful of people who said bad on their first playthrough.
Yeah.
And then they'll do good. But then we had
and those
one...
are the ones that we gave to the FBI. Now, be careful. You're on a watch.
I was going to say, there's one that you want. You're definitely going to want to put on an FBI list. And he's the one person who said bad always. And I think he's the one who also commented. Oh, God, where's this comment?
Wow. He's not even prepared, guys. This is terrible. I have to sit here and fill the noise in this void. This void that exists because he was ill-prepared for this very moment right now.
Yeah, he said, it's from the Great Fives. I'm committing war crimes straight out first time around.
Oh, my God.
Or yeah, he just said, I'm committing war crimes the first time around. But, oh, God, it's just like, yes, okay.
Wait, that's the guy who did it, the Great Fives? Is that... What? Oh, okay. I could see. You know what? And I will say, sometimes I'll jump into a game and I'll be like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking just blow shit up. Let's go.
I mean, like, that's all I do in GTA 5 a lot of times. Just go in and just kill
a bunch
GTA of shit.
5 is like intrinsically
meant
bad,
for that,
right?
Kind of. Yeah.
You're never playing the good guy in GTA. Even when you steal a car from a bad guy, you're just selling it to another bad guy.
Exactly.
So.
Well, we had Hippie Tarzan say, always play good on the first time, and then second playthrough is full evil, no remorse.
No remorse.
I love that.
I'll kill that kid.
I had Moist Socks say, I default to good until one person is like rude for no reason, and then I'm good except for that person.
It's like the... when like someone from anger management is trying to like work on themselves and they go to a coffee shop and the teller is like, sir, can I please have your name? And they're just like rude. And then the guy like reaches across the counter and says, I was doing good for a day.
Right.
Just, that's all it is. It's just your breaking point is so low. I think all of our breaking points in games are like, did they just walk in front of me without saying, excuse me? Right. Fucking bitch. Like you cut me off, you fucking whore.
So that's our breaking point. We had Trey Harshaw say, it depends on much, but I like the people. It depends on how much I like the people and how good the loot is. I mean, I could kill the witch, but if I let her live and then steal the baby, she gives me a bonus point.
Yeah,
I could side with these paladins here against the devil, but I really want that sword on the paladin's back.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. You're just like, I'll do one evil act to get that sweet fucking sword.
Yeah. This one was hilarious. This woman named Steph said, I tried to be bad in Red Dead Redemption. I murdered a man early in the game trying to make some money. I was immediately caught. And then you know what he had on him? 2 cents and a stick of celery.
Nice. Being bad doesn't pay off.
I was like, oh no, you felt bad for doing the act and then getting caught. And then it was even worth because the loot wasn't worth it. Trash it.
Yeah. Dude, I wanted them to make a game. Somebody make a game where you have to literally burn down an orphanage and watch all the kids just perish. Okay. And it's the best loot in the game. Like if you do this thing in the embers and the dead bodies of all the children is the best weapon you could possibly find in the game. And just watch how people just cry as they're doing, I'm doing it for the loot.
Compare the loot. There are people that do. There's a lot of people who said like a lot of evil playthroughs tend to be easier because give you more powers the quicker, or they give you more abilities, or they give you this.
Yeah.
Or to hold yourself back for certain things.
In Knights of the Old Republic too, like honestly going the evil route and using like I think it's Sith Marauder, but I'm not 100% on it. It might be Sith Lord. You get an ability called Force Crush, and it's like the highest damage ability in the game. So you literally lift people up in the air like Darth Vader used to do, but instead of choking them, it literally you close your fist and the person's insides explode.
Jeez. So
it is like the coolest fucking ability in the game, but you only get it if you go dark side.
I mean, fair.
Yeah. So,
yeah. No, I mean, it's all true. There was a lot of good things, though, in the comments. So I appreciate everyone who commented there.
Someone should make a meme of the Anakin scene where he's killing the kids or whatever. He like puts us and put one of the guy who said, "I always play evil." That's the Anakin or whatever. Yeah. Someone make that meme for us, please.
Gosh. Yeah. No, it's really fun. It kind of reminds me of like those old movie studios. Like I watched Toxic Avenger recently because the remake's coming out. And it was one of the first movies that they had people in there that were basically GTA characters as the villains. They would like the villain was this bully named Bozo. And he was just had this like anger problem. He'd just always be angry. And they would go driving around trying to run people over. And his girlfriend sitting next to him, she's like, "You get 40 points if you had a Puerto Rican, 30 for a Chinese person, 20 for an old person." And he's like, "How much for a kid on a bicycle right there?" And they're like, "Yeah, kill him." And then they hit him with the car.
Don't
and
isolate
then,
that, please.
and then they come back and they're like, "Oh, he's still alive." And he's like, "Not anymore." He reverses, runs over his head, and then the girls get out of the car and take pictures next to the body, like, "Yay!" And then they're like jerking off to the pictures later, and I'm like, "What the fuck is this movie, dude?"
I was like, I don't think we should be talking about that movie, I'm gonna be honest.
Okay. I always got this, but it's fun. Everyone loves that movie. It's a cult
classic.
We're
not cutting shit.
It's a cult classic.
All right, I haven't seen it, but
it's fun.
I haven't seen a lot of movies. All right, guys. Well, we're going to jump into our game for this week now. We are playing Dying Light. Yeah, zombie apocalypse game. Kind of one of the, not the first game to feature free running, but very prominently feature free running, you know?
Yes.
So
I would say take its roots from Assassin's Creed, but then
there's other games.
Explore more. Yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah, of course. But Mirror's Edge was another one. I think it takes a lot from Mirror's Edge, honestly.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump right into this with the story. In 2012, Polish studio Techland, the same team behind which game, Steven? Another famous zombie game. I Believe in You. No. Later than Left 4 Dead. I think it's like 2012-11.
2012-11 zombie game. Okay. Not a Walking Dead game, right?
Not a Walking Dead game. They do mention how much they love The Walking Dead, though.
Was it a World War? No, World War Z didn't come out till later.
Later.
Fuck.
Nothing?
You gotta give me a hint here.
You're on a landmass that is not a continent.
Oh, is this Death Island or Dead Island?
Dead Island, yes.
Dead Island, yes. Okay.
Okay, so this is the studio that made Dead Island. And I just want you guys to know that I read about, 100 articles about the making of this game, and 90% of them mentioned the fact that this is not just another Dead Island, and that's all they would fucking talk about. And it's just it's not, but what I wanted to hear was more about the making of the game and less about how it's not like Dead Island, you know? And that's all that anyone, like, nobody could get past the fact that this isn't Dead Island 2. So yeah, it's really fucking annoying. Anyway, so in 2012, Polish studio Techland, the same team behind Dead Island, began working on a new zombie game. The two games would ultimately be unrelated, but the lessons from Dead Island shaped what comes next. The developer wanted something more polished, something that stood out in a crowded genre. The game was Dying Light. From the start, Techland believed free running and parkour would set their new title apart. For them, it wasn't just a flashy gimmick, it was survival. Free running, for us, is a survival mechanism, explained brand ambassador. Oh my god. So then these names, guys, are all Polish and they're all hard, so please don't judge me. Krakowiak? Something like that. This is not something those characters are doing to show off. This is something they had to do, because that's how humans avoid getting eaten by getting eaten in zombie situations. This is something that we believe Dying Light can really contribute to the zombie genre, which I agree. I think that's kind of funny. You know, we do have a lot of zombie games where the zombies are slow and like tedious, but wouldn't that be the best place for parkour then? Because you would never have to worry about zombies.
Yes. You know, when the zombies can also climb walls and shit, you're like, fuck you.
That's when it gets hard. Before release, some even joked it was just Dead Island with free running. But Techland's vision was different. After a sour relationship with their previous publisher, Deep Silver, the studio didn't want to pursue Dead Island 2. Instead, with Warner Bros. As their new publishing partner, Techland finally had a creative control, something they had long wanted. So, and this is one thing they mentioned in a lot of these articles, when they were with Deep Silver, who published Dead Island, they were really involved in the making of the game. So normally publishers are not involved. They're just like, here's the money. This is all we're allotting you. Make the game. You have this time limit, right? Deep Silver wanted the game, and then they wouldn't let them, they made them rush production because they wanted a release for Christmas instead of letting them like fine tune the game. So when the game came out, it had all these issues and shit. Like, it was really frustrating for the team. And they kept mentioning like Deep Silver is just a shit company to have be your publisher, because all they do is like really force you to be something that you're not. So, yeah, and it, like, then that was in every single interview. They're like, yeah, fuck Deep Silver. So it was fun. The developers leaned heavily into immersion. They wanted players to feel the weight. Yes, that's where I am. They wanted people to feel the weight of grappling with zombies, the urgency of escaping a horde, and the sharp contrast between day and night. As programmer, Radislaw Maliki, I don't know, explained, the basic concept we had was the night should be the time when you're really scared for your life, as opposed to the day, where you're more hunter than prey. We figured out that zombies can be changing at night. They should be actively and aggressively following the player during pursuit sequences. And they do. And they fucking do.
Oh, God, do they, dude. Fuck.
Not every idea was easy to bring to life. Swimming, for example, almost didn't make it into the game. Programmer Bartusov Kulon recalls, we had a big argument about, and then, you know, they do the thing where they cut stuff, so I don't really know what he was trying to say here. We had a big argument about, I wanted to do a swimming mechanic for Dying Light. The designer said, no, we don't have time for it. I said, okay, I'll come in on Saturday and I'll do it. They said, okay, so now we have swimming.
Jesus. I mean, good for you for wanting it so badly you just came in yourself and did it.
Why do you think he wanted swimming so badly, Steven?
So you had a way to escape?
No, it's because for Kulon, it was personal, and Dead Island, you couldn't swim.
So it was revenge. I'm getting swimming, like, motherfucker.
You're in Dead Island, which is on an island surrounded by fucking water everywhere, and you cannot swim in it. So it was just, he was like, it's stupid. Even though the game was set on an island, and he said about it, it sucked. I don't want this game to suck.
Fair. Honestly, this game could have gone without swimming. I don't think I used it like more than once or twice.
I jumped into the water a couple times. I don't remember if I did that during chase sequences. I should have tried it during chase.
You can get away during chase sequences. As soon as you get into water where you can swim, they kind of just stop.
Okay, and that's what I figured, because it doesn't seem like they would program the zombies
to
swim.
They can't swim.
And, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Some inspiration for the game came from surprising places. One of the designers told a story from his stunt days. He described leaping off a 15-meter crane. I don't know how tall that is in feet. Sorry, guys. Sure. If you say so, it might be 60. Who knows? During a live show, only to nearly land head first onto the ground. At the last second, a stunt coordinator caught his arm and pivoted him to safety. He walked away, shouted, ta-da! And carried on as if nothing had happened. That near-death moment underscored just how important believable falls and physicality were in Dying Light.
I mean, I don't almost believe that story. That sounds crazy.
He would do these, he explained it like he would do these stunt shows, essentially. Like, he'd show like, well, this is what we do for a stunt in a movie, right? And then the stunt show people would be watching. He had a crowd around him. And then he jumped like every other time. And he said, and I jumped a little too far. So they have this like giant blow up mattress, right? And back in the old days, the problem with the blow up mattresses is they would bounce you. So, and with a bounce, if you're near the edge, it's going to bounce you off. I think now they've either made it so it bounces you center, or it bounces you less so it doesn't bounce you off.
I don't
off.
Think they bounce at all anymore. You just kind of sink into it. It's kind of fill up once, you sink in, and they refill it again, I think.
And luckily they had that version of it, because when he fell, like he said, he nearly hit his head. He pivoted. he was able to land on the edge of it. And then he said, if that was the old one, I would be in the hospital with probably a broken neck.
You know, I say that's kind of ridiculous with it being like 45 feet. But then I think like the world record for the belly flopping into a kiddie pool is from 33 feet up or something like that.
God, but the amount of tension and force, that's insane.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Probably
yeah,
like, break bones.
If anyone else tried it, I'm sure it would. But he practiced it for so long and built up a tolerance to it and kept getting higher and higher and higher.
All right. That's crazy.
He was even on America's Got Talent doing it. It was the stupidest thing ever, but Professor Splash, that was his name. Professor Splash.
It's like the guy from Rick and Morty who's like, I'm immune to acid. And then he jumped in the vat of acid and died. But building a world where the players could move freely wasn't easy. In Dead Island, players were restricted to clear paths. This time, the team had to think in three dimensions. At first, they created 50,000... Or 50,000? Yeah, it was 50,000. 50,000 hooks, points the players could climb. But constant failures and fixes made the system unworkable. Eventually, the developers built a program that scanned the environment around the player and dynamically generated climbable hooks for them. It was a breakthrough that opened the game world vertically. Yeah, and like when you think about it, so you think about games that have these hooks on them, they'll usually have like something draped over the side so it looks like it is climbable,
or it'd be
maybe
white
the
paint
color
or yellow paint.
Yeah. The color would be a tiny bit different than your general area,
or it's like edged out a little bit or like scratched a bunch, like showing it's fun.
They would
kick off of
they
it.
Would make it look different, and that was the point. But he even said like, well, doing that was kind of a pain in the ass too, because then they would have to create these hooks, make it obvious that the player could jump on those hooks, and then create like literally 50,000 in the first just little area. That's just a tiny area in the beginning of the game that you're in. And he's like, and it was unworkable. Like as soon as you put a crate in an area, well, now it breaks 15 hooks. Yes. And that was the problem they were running in. So instead, like they worked over a weekend and designed a way to completely make it. So, and I think another game did this, but I can't remember which one. And they relied heavily. It might be, but they relied heavily on that for inspiration on the scanning the environment. So yeah, for sure. To make the movement, and even Assassin's Creed, I think has like very clear hooks. You can't just dangle on anything, right? You have to.
Most things you have to have something protruding, so you have to have like a piece of brick breaking out or like some.
So you have to be able to
something.
See that. Whereas, like in other games, it's less obvious, but you know you can do it.
Yeah, that would Assassin's Creed and a few of them at least aren't obvious ones, and you can kind of climb the environment and the building still.
To make movement authentic, Techland even interviewed professional freerunners. They hired David Bell, the founder of parkour himself, as a consultant to make sure the game's movement felt grounded in reality. Which I didn't know there was a founder. Like, honestly, I did not know there was a founder for parkour. I just thought it just kind of happened out of the blue.
It was a thing that people just started doing, but then, like, that guy, I'm pretty sure, just, like, founded the name and founded the foundation.
No,
like,
it's in the 70s. He made a movie. He's a French dude. He made a movie, and I guess that's like where parkour gets its inspiration from, because in the movie, I guess they're all free running and jumping from building to building.
I will say a lot more foreign movies use parkour than a lot of American movies.
Yeah,
there's very few American movies that do.
Well, like
so many.
Are you
going
to use parkour in like Kansas, where you jump from one building to the next building and then have 14 miles of
Kansas
open cornfields?
Kansas has populated places. It's not
But you know what I mean? Like in Europe, like their populated places are much closer together. So, yeah. And it's a lot cooler to see that. But if you're just like jumping from one building to the next, and then there's a couple miles of no buildings, and then one building, the next couple miles of no buildings, which is actually a reality in middle America. So you will get it more in big cities, but you won't have the kind of buildings that they have in Europe or in New York City or, you know. Even the audio was approached differently. Instead of pulling from the tropes of the 90s of 90s zombie movies, the sound team turned to the 70s and 80s for inspiration. They wanted a horror atmosphere, but not one so unsettling that players couldn't keep going. So, and it's interesting to me because that is right? Because once you start feeling scared, you kind of want to stop playing.
Dude, I mean, like, there's times, and like I so much of the time was like fuck night. Like I
I would go out for night and I just jump from building to building to bring up my stuff because you get double points.
I mean, the double points is such a nice thing, but it's also like a shorter span because I think it's only 10 minutes of actual nighttime, like real time. Yeah. But
I noticed that and I was kind of bummed about it because I was trying to do a mission at night and I just couldn't get it done because it was not long enough because I kept dying. With all of this, Dying Light became more than just another zombie game. It was a survival experience that merged parkour, melee combat, and atmosphere into something unique. And for Techland, it was a chance to build the zombie game they had always wanted to make on their own terms. Dying Light was released January 27th, 2015. And I think Dead Island 2 was also released by that time, and Dead Island 2 sucked.
I heard Dead Island 2 was at least fun with the gore mechanics and stuff like that. It was a linear game still, and yeah. That was one of the biggest
complaints.
Well, everyone
said the biggest complaint about it was the linearity and also the bugs. There were just a ton of bugs, because in a game like Dead Island, there's always a ton of bugs.
Honestly, Dying Light, and there was a sequel to Dying Light, and the DLCs for 1 and 2 are coming out still. I think The Beast didn't come out too long ago, and that was for
Dying Light 2 is one of the most like universally loved games I think of all time.
Yeah. Wow, even Dying Light 1 was one of the highest rated Steam, or the highest Steam reviews games of all time. I was like, what the fuck?
I don't remember. I think it's Dying Light 2 that has the finger gun. I think it's like I think it's the finger gun. It's just a mechanic that like makes this random thing around your arm. And yeah, you just literally shoot with your fingers, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Best and the worst.
Best thing for sure, honestly, is just the parkour mechanics. The running, vaulting, climbing. It's smooth. It's fast. It's crazy, honestly, like how much like... Well, like... It was weird at first because like your jump button's the right bumper.
Yeah,
playing with
which I did not like that too much. A is my traditional, but I got used to
I got used to it too. But it was really cool to like be like sprinting and then just like pop it, and like if you were like even going over like fence posts and stuff like that, you could just keep hitting the right bumper and you would just like sprint over them. And I'm like, that's the coolest shit. Like it's so fluid. Like I love it.
I don't think A was used for anything, was it? I think you mashed it for like opening shit and that was it.
Yeah, you mashed it. No, X was opening shit. A was when you get grappled.
X was opening, but A was the mash button. So if you were to open something,
yeah,
then you
when you were like
a
opening a panel. Yeah, or when you
locked.
Get grappled. Like when you got grappled by a zombie, you'd hit
so it's
A
like,
to get them
off. It was literally just the mash button.
Yeah.
That's funny. I like the game too. I think like, yes, the parkour running mechanics are really cool. Gunplay was a little bit weird, but it was okay. Melee combat was awesome in this game.
Yeah, the melee combat's awesome, but a little bit mixed thing is the weapons break a lot. Like
and quickly.
Yeah. Some people I know love the realism of it, and some people like brought up like Breath of the Wild, which I didn't like the weapon deprecation system in that either. But at least with this one, most weapons you had 3 repairs. So
I like the limited repairs too. It made it more real.
Yeah. So I did like that you could at least repair the weapons, but I didn't like how often they broke because
Yeah, one of the things that I didn't really... This game is really nauseating to play. I kept getting headaches while playing it just because the camera movements are very slight. If you're very like sensitive to that slight camera movement, you will feel either nauseated or get a headache, because I got both.
I never had any problems with it.
Yeah, I think if you're really sensitive to those tiny movements that camera's making, because it's constantly shaking, because they even said when they first made the game, they had to do a ton of adjustments on the camera settings because people were like throwing up after playing.
Okay. I mean, I like a lot of hand cam movies, so I'm used to a little shake here and there. It's honestly like only games like what was that horror game that we played that I couldn't get through because of how nauseating I was getting.
Yeah, see, and that's the problem is we're all sensitive to different things, but these slight camera movements were just giving me a headache the entire time I was playing. Also, I did not like the fact that there's no fast travel in this game.
I hated that. That was annoying. So you should be able to fast travel between safe zones.
Yeah. So, well, this is one, and there's no point to the safe zones if you can't fast travel between them. Like, yes, like, oh, well, you're closer to this one, so you're safe at night. I'm like, well, I might as well just run all the way back at night because it's fucking bullshit. But the people online are like, oh, look at all the plebs asking for quick travel in a game that's all about parkour. Fucking losers. I'm like, I want fast travel so I'm not running everywhere all the fucking. You know how much time that adds to a game?
You know what game has the best travel mechanics in any game of all time? Like, it can't be argued. Marvel Spider-Man 2. You know what I still do in that fucking game? Fast travel. Yes, it can only take me, what? Even at the, like, with the wingsuit and with web swinging at max stats, like, I can get from one end of the island to the other in a couple minutes. Like, it doesn't take too long. But even
and
that
it's
couple
probably
minutes,
fun.
And it's super fun. But also, if you've played the game for 40 hours, tired of doing that. Like,
well, and it's like, that's the thing. I think it's just it just adds time onto the game when you have to constantly fucking run to travel. Yeah, and like, I don't know if they fixed that in Dying Light 2. I really hope they did, because I was really frustrated a lot playing this game, and I'm like, God damn it, I've got to go fucking all the way over here. Like, this takes fucking forever to run.
Dude, even if the one fast travel point was just to the tower, just so I could make it back to turn in my quest, a single button, like, even if that was just your one fast travel point, I don't care. It would be nice to be able to go to a shop with a touch of a button. It would be nice to go to return in all your quests, to turn in all your equipment you're giving to the weapons master or the bulletin board guy or whatever. Like,
for sure. I mean, I think we've talked about this before, too, where fast travel is just an important mechanic in these giant maps, because if it's a 40-hour game, but 30 hours of that is traveling, then I'm not going to play the fucking game, right? Like, that's ridiculous. You don't want to play the game. I think Dying Light's like a 60-hour game, and I bet at least 10 hours of that is fucking traveling. So it can be very frustrating. But that was the one thing that I really was getting pissed off on. Also, the melee combat is, you level up a little too quickly in the beginning, but you don't get enough cool weapons in the beginning. They even have like a hint saying like, hey, if you're struggling getting weapons, here's some ways to get some weapons, like on the loading screen, which already tells me they knew they made a mistake by doing that. Yeah. No, and even the money seems kind of worthless in this game. You can buy shit, but there's nothing like amazing that people have besides some blueprints that are out there.
Like, besides buying blueprints and ammo, like, I would never buy a weapon from somebody because they cost so fucking much. Like, I had $20,000.
Yeah, they're like, here's a baseball bat for $14 million.
Yeah, I had $20,000 at the end of 14 hours of playthrough, and I went to the shop, and it's like, all right, you can buy this one purple leveled, which is like that's the fourth tier weapon or third tier weapon or something like that.
It goes white,
green, blue, purple, orange. I think
orange. There's one more we're missing, I think.
Okay,
I don't remember.
But
maybe
still,
yellow.
But like, yeah. But somewhere in there, and like third or fourth tier weapon, and not even the best in the game or anything. And this is 14 hours into the game, and that weapon cost $14,000 for like upgraded machete.
You know why? So it actually, I think it scales to the amount of money you have. Yeah, so a lot of games do this. They scale things based on level or money. That was a really old thing that they used to do a lot. Like, they would, because you remember Final Fantasy games, the inns would cost more the further you got into the game. Even though they shouldn't, even though that shouldn't matter whatsoever, the inn should always be the same, like, flat rate, no matter what, they would cost more. It's just an old trope for RPGs that people used to do,
it's
and it's
just
kind of
really
dying, luckily, but it's not dying fast enough.
It's kind of like we had a buddy when we first started trying to play D&D who would be like, oh, you're good at acrobatics, then I'm going to make your check for acrobatics way higher because you're good at it. And I'm like, that's not how that works. I
yes,
get better
it
at it,
shut the
so
hell
it's
up.
Easier, not harder.
You
what
know that
fuck?
Thing that you had to roll a 2 for, but now you have to roll a 22, bitch.
Yeah, because
making
you
pay for
18
getting cool
points in agility. Like, fuck off. No, that's not how that works.
So yeah, and that, it's just a frustrating thing in some of these games. And in this game, it was very frustrating. Money was a little stupid. It didn't really serve a purpose. some of the loot was really hard to find and some of it was really easy. So like I had a really big drought of string for the longest time. And then I kept finding string, yeah. But then I stopped finding metal pieces. And I'm like, okay, this is really starting to piss me off. It's like, as soon as I need something, that's when I stop finding it.
Well, metal parts, you just dismantle anything you pick up.
Yeah. But then I stopped finding weapons and shit too. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? What is happening in this game?
Weapons I had an abundance of always, at least.
Yeah, but like, and I would for a long time until I needed metal parts. And that's when I stopped finding them. No.
You want to pick up all these things. And like, when you pick up, like, so like when I went to the school for the first time for the story mission, and you fight a lot of Reyes' men, you get a ton of weapons in that. And they have like entire armories there where you can get a ton of assault rifles and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to stock up on all these police rifles and military rifles because I haven't found these in the open world. This would be a really great place. So I filled my entire like inventory with them, but then they all use the same ammo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, yeah, just even, well, even like selling those, like I would look at it and there's like the gun costs $10,000 in the inventory and it shows like this is the value of the gun. And then I'd go to sell it and like, he's like, I'll give you $500. And I'm like,
yeah,
it's $10,000. Well, you know,
in the skill tree, there are things to make your barter better. I think there's even one that's, well, one of them, and I think the other one was maybe at price. I can't remember. But like, it's just one of those things. You really have to do a lot to get it. Some of the cool things in this, there was a hidden weapon that I got pretty early on, which is one of the dumbest ones I've ever seen. So, well, it's like a sword, and it's really good. It does early game, it's the best weapon in the game. It does 500 damage per hit. The problem with it is it can't be repaired. It costs 20 metal pieces and 20 alcohol, I think, to make it. But it does 500 damage, so early game, it pretty much one-shots everything that you see. And it's a sword, so it's quick. Yeah, it's really cool. It's like the Krakow or something like that sword. I can't remember exactly.
Is it Karuk machete?
Yeah. Karuk?
Wait, you're not it's K-O-R-E-K. That's a dev weapon.
Yeah. So you can find this, which is the best part. They put it as an Easter egg in the game. You can go
75 times.
Yes. Yes, okay, exactly. Yeah. There's a toolbox that's behind a bunch of crates. Like, and there's no reason to go up on top of this building because it's at the top of a building. And I just had to look it up because I was getting so frustrated because I'm like, all the melee weapons are shit. I'm too high of a level now, but I haven't found weapons that match my level. And the zombies are starting to like really fuck me over. So I find this weapon or I find it online. I'm like, okay, I'll go find it. And you literally have to sit there and keep hitting X on the toolbox until it opens. And it's like some people said it was 50. Some people said 75. I probably did 100. So,
yeah, it was 75. That's what I've figured out or what I read.
But I it's a dev weapon, but it's not really. So anyone can get it. You get the mechanic or the blueprint for it.
The blueprint description reads, developers like to cheat when playing their own game. Correct?
Yeah.
Likes to have everything under control, and this is his tool.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because it cannot be repaired. So you literally use it until it's dead, and then you have to make another one. But it's still, so not repaired weapons, if they're broken, they do 10% of their normal damage. So even at 10%, it still does 50 fucking damage, which was more than most of the weapons that I was finding in the fucking open.
I gotta say, I got this on Xbox, and it came with a couple of the DLCs. And the DLCs, they instantly give you access to a couple good blueprints. Like I had a bow that could do 500 power. And
yeah,
like
that was one
crossbow.
Of the things they said, too. It's like one of the DLCs really make it easier in early game to do
really
stuff.
They really do, yeah.
Yeah, because, again, this is a scaling game, so the zombies actually scale to your level. So, again, if you level up too fast and you don't find enough shit, then you're literally just getting fucked over all the
time. Yep, I was for a while, too, until I started doing a lot more of those blueprint DLC weapons. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, like, there's a electric rifle thing that you could do.
Yeah, I think they purposely put those in because... of how bad they did on the early game, because I think the late game's great. I've heard the scaling for the late game's really good, but for the early game, it's really piss poor.
Yeah, it's pretty bad at the beginning for sure.
So yeah, that's our best and the worst. I think that's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, I was going to say the only other thing is like the voice acting in this game flips between great and aggressively B-movie. Like some of the side characters are just absolutely terrible. Their dialogue's god-awful. They look god-awful. But then like other characters are so fluent and so great and great voice acting. So it's you get a really big mixture and variety. But yeah.
Faux show.
All right.
All right, well, Steve Achieves?
Actually, first few hours.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Steve Achieves.
Go ahead.
Go. No, you go. You're good.
Okay. Dying Light doesn't.
Okay, so. Yeah.
Was just an adrenaline rush, and it's one of the best adrenaline rushes in gaming, honestly. Like I honestly think the first couple hours, because of how much they just like throw you in and they really do like scare you with how crazy these zombies are and how weak you are against zombies, like it is really intriguing, and I think it passes the couple hour test, honestly.
I agree. I had a lot of fun in the first 2 hours. There was nothing like crazy. The early game, that first hour or two playing is fine. As soon as you get after hour three or four, that's when it starts getting kind of hard to play.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and go into Steve Achieves then.
Steve Achieves.
All right. As always, this is
what
just random.
What does he achieve?
Well, one of the achievements I got that I was surprised didn't have a high percentage. It only had like, I think like 13% or something like that. I have to look back at it. But it was the Robin Hood theory. Score 10 headshots on Reyes's men with a bow. And I don't know if it's just because the bows are kind of hard to get unless you have the DLCs.
Yeah, see, I think I'm 20 hours in the game and I don't have a bow at all. Mm. I found guns before I found a bow.
Yeah, I only found one blueprint for a bow besides the DLC one. The DLC one is way better, like, honestly, than the one I found.
I think it's the best in the game.
It's honestly, that's so good. It, like, one-shots almost everything. There's the Electric Whisper, craft a weapon with an elemental mod. Bonus is actually getting to watch the zombies dance when electrocuted. It actually is really crazy how animated they get when you electrocute zombies in this. It's really fun. Barbecue achievement, stick a burning zombie onto spikes. I did that one on an accident, and then I got the achievement, and I like the name of it so much because you're skewering the meat.
Yeah. Delicious.
One that was really fun, once you get the dropkick ability, dropkicking 50 enemies off rooftops, and the achievement is called, This is Haran!
By the way, Haran is a fake place, I think. I don't think that's a real city.
I can't remember for sure.
I don't think it is.
There's the achievement, Everybody Dance Now, for simultaneously shocking
everybody
five monsters with electricity, and they're all just dancing together. That's really fun. There's another homage here for Italian Plumber. Is the name of this achievement.
Ooh.
You kill an enemy with a wrench using a vault followed by a drop kick.
Okay, I can see that. So you're bashing their head.
Yeah. So see, you jump and kick their head after jumping over something else. There's actually quite a few Nintendo Easter eggs in here. Surprisingly.
Yeah. I think that's easy to do because a lot of people started their gaming journey with Nintendo games, right? Like, if it's not arcade games, it's Nintendo. Where are we going for the hunt? Are we going into the basement with all the kids?
Well, since we were talking about Nintendo, I guess I could talk about the Super Mario pipe hidden in the world. There's a green warp pipe hidden on a rooftop. You have to, like, open up this little like thing on the top of this like vent stack, and then it'll have a green pipe inside, and then you can hold it to enter level 1-1. It says enter world 1-1, And then it's a inside is a, like a platforming area with like paint on the walls. It's just like a little thin hallway, and it's painted all to look like Mario. And there's like tiny zombies with like these mushroom bodies that look like Goombas almost. Like it looks like they have like a giant bell body shape.
Like someone's
like Goombas.
Sick fantasy in a zombie apocalypse.
But
it would be funny. You know, it would be really fucking funny.
Yeah.
If that was the way to unlock fast travel.
So there's
so
an unlockable in there
everywhere.
That would be awesome, actually.
Yeah, that would have been a funny way to like say, okay, we understand we made this game hard. Here's a way to make it easy.
In that level, there's a hidden block that you can hit behind something. Like, you know, Mario have those hidden blocks where you jump and you like randomly hit a block. Well, then you climb on top of it, and it's got a blueprint for the Pyza suit, or Pyza suit, P-Y-Z-A. And that would actually get you a little glider suit. It was supposed to be a thing based off of the Tanuki suit. And you would glide for a few seconds, but then you would still fall to the ground.
Oh, geez.
So a lot of people, like, it's kind of useless, but it's kind of fun. It's a fun little Easter egg.
So they don't overpower, like... I mean, I think in Dying Light 2, they went crazy with the fucking Easter egg shit. Because I know, like, the finger gun was one we mentioned.
Fuck ton in this one, too. I'm only going to go over probably, like, 8. But
they're very into giving people what they want.
Speaking of weapons you can find in the game, there's the Excalibur sword that you can find. It's a sword stuck in a rock on a cliff. You have to stand there and hold the pull-out button for 3 minutes straight, but then you'll get the powerful blade. But then it's got a really bad weapon decoration, kind of like the Master Sword in Breath of the Wild. And then it breaks pretty easily, and you can't repair it at all. So it's a really powerful weapon, but you can only use it for a few swings. But it hits really hard. Yeah. Speaking of homages to other zombies and creators and stuff, and you're talking about like 70s and 80s zombies, there's actually a wall mural painting of George Romero, and it says Father of Zombies on the mural, and then it has his birth date and death date on there, and then it says he will return as a zombie or something like that, and on it spray painted,
and then he jumps up from the ground and starts attacking.
I mean, that would be funny as hell.
That would be pretty funny.
There's a couple of funny locations of names that I found in here. Like, there's the Bites Motel as an homage to the Bates Motel.
Yeah.
There's also a bakery called Left for Bread. It's an Left for Dead.
That's a good one.
There's a couple of other movie homages. On one of the levels in the pit where you're going through the school and fighting Reyes' men, you can find a desk that has a pencil sticking up with bloodstain on it, kind of like in The Dark Knight, where he's like, you want to watch this pencil disappear? And then he hits the guy's face on it. So people think that's what that homage is set for, and I agree.
I know it's before John Wick, but it would be funny if it was the John Wick homage, because I think he killed 100 people or something with a pencil.
I think that was one of the stories. The craziest one that I remember is he killed someone with a book in the library.
Yeah.
There's a side mission where you can find a basket that has lotion in it from Silence of the Lambs.
It puts the lotion on its skin, or it gets the hose again.
There's a memorial wall in the game where it actually has a bunch of developer pictures in it, so you can actually see the dev team. There's a weird as fuck dance sequence. You can start this like protection mission with this guy, and you can go into the train yard, and then you can hit this switch in the train yard, and then a bunch of zombies come out and do a Bollywood dance routine.
Oh, not Thriller?
Not Thriller. Like, it totally sounds like a Bollywood dance, and the dance is very homage to like this Bollywood thing. And it's just like, but they're like scattered throughout the entire train yard. So you enter that hangar, and it's a big thing with all these like trains and stuff. And there's zombies on top of the trains, on the sides of the trains. They open doors, come out of the trains, and they all just start dancing. And they're like, ah, nah, nah, nah. And you're like, what the fuck is happening? And then this one is another really fun one. They have a Plants vs. Zombies homage in here. Nice. There's a plant on a cliffside that you can find. It's an orange plant, and then you can click on it, and it teleports you to a setup where they had a house, and they had a bunch of plants, and then they had zombies with traffic cones and plants on their heads,
yeah,
and stuff come out, and they were getting attacked by the other plants. So you can actually interact with that entire scene. It's really cool.
That's cool.
And then the last one I have on here, this one was really funny. There's a nursery that you can find a pink teddy bear, and the pink teddy bear, you can boop its nose and it's like, I love you. And then you can keep doing it and it keeps saying, I love you. And then after like five times, it's like, I said, I love you. I said, I love you. Okay, stop it. No, seriously, stop it. Stop it now. If you don't stop it, I'm going to get really mad. And his eyes start turning redder and redder. And then finally, if you do it long enough, it's like, all right, you asked for it. And then goes, it just blows up. You're just like, okay.
It'd be funny if you press it. There's a fun thing in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Bridge series where the girl has a teddy bear and it always goes, Hail Satan.
That would be funny too.
That would be the best.
Yeah, that's some of these drinks. There's a ton more in this. If you found some other ones, please tell us what other ones you find. I'd like to hear what all Easter eggs you guys find as well in these games. Maybe I should do that. I should be posting those questions. Like, what Easter eggs did you find in the game?
What Easter egg did you find? I made this one up, but it's still cool.
I mean, some of those ones, like the pencil, it's like, you feel like it is an homage, but you're not exactly sure because there's nothing that says Dark Knight. There's no one in like... Yeah, so, I mean, it's fair. Right. But yeah, so let's get to our final scores then.
Let's do it.
What do you want to give it?
No, okay. What do you got? What you got first?
I'm between a 3 and a 4, but I was kind of swinging towards 4. I really, like, this game is brutal, but I do love how, like, the mechanics of this game are so good. Like, the story isn't that great, but the mechanics of the game are so fun. It's frustrating as hell sometimes, but I still want to play more of it. Like, I think
this game would be like more fun as a multiplayer game because that's what they seem to have intended it for, is more multiplayer action.
And you can go up to 4 players on this. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's definitely suited for it. And I think the difficulty would be a lot better if you had more people.
I think it actually goes up if there's more people, kind of like
every game does it.
It does scale again. It's a scaling game. I like this game at a 3. Now, if this game had fast travel, if I didn't get so nauseated while playing it, it would be a 4. But unfortunately, I got nauseated and then also... Like, I get more nauseated because I have to run everywhere. If they had fast travel, I would literally not have to worry about how nauseated I was all the time. So,
well, even like zip lines, there's not a lot of zip lines throughout the area either.
You can't make zip lines either, I don't think. Maybe you could later in the game, but from where
you can do a mission where the guys say they're going to put up more, but I didn't notice more. I don't know if they actually did or not. Yeah,
I did that mission as well. I did not notice any. The only times I ever saw them were on top of the giant towers, sometimes on top of a tall building, but not all the time. And it just, it felt like this. They really lost a lot of traversal engagement for me because they heavily put on the parkour, which is great. I think that was a smart move for the beginning of the game and traveling through and doing fun things. But also there has to be fast travel. That's just, or you need to make a more fun way to travel that's not so nauseating for me.
Or even just do the fast travel just during the day. Like, no fast travel at night. That way you still get the whole, you have to be on foot. Like, and that makes more sense because it's a shorter time frame.
And also it's like, why would you, like the fast travel, the point is you can go from point A to point B safely. At night you wouldn't be able to do that. So it would make sense to not be able to fast travel at night.
I think that's a good way to make it in there without breaking the systems of the game.
For sure. Yeah. But unfortunately they didn't do it. I'm hoping they did it for Dying Light 2. I do want to finish this game and actually play through it more. I just need, I need to do it in short spurts because I just get too nauseous.
That's fair. That's crazy. That sucks that you're having those problems. I'm glad I feel like I'm usually the bitch to that kind of shit, but like, it's crazy.
I don't know. The swaying just got me for some reason. It's a lot. But again, this is something they had to really work on because they had other people who had problems with it. So I know it's not just me.
I've only had one movie that I've ever gotten nauseated at for a shaky cam, and that was a recent one.
All right, guys. Well, that was it. That was Dying Light. We hope you enjoyed it. Check us out again. TikTok, Instagram. other places where you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean, Pod whatever, Pod Super,
Podnatic, Podtastic,
Pod
Racers,
Pod Nuka, Balaka,
Tide Pods.
Yeah, Tide Pods. All the pods. We're on all the pod network. And if you want to reach out, soulofthegamerpodcast@gmail.com. Reach out, ask us questions, tell us to play certain games, and we'll do it.
We will.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Well, bye.
Love you.
No.